Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Coming up in this edition of TV Black Box, Top Gear Australia set to return. Gogglebox brings in the celebrities again, and Daryl Summers dances off into the sunset. Welcome to the podcast where people in the industry get their news. This is TV Black Box.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is TV Black Box, bringing you the inside goss from the TV industry.
Hello, lovers. Welcome to the house that is TV Black Box, the house of love. That's what this house is. Joining me on this episode of the podcast, by the way, I'm Rob McKnight, your besotted host, besotted with this panel, especially when I'm talking to radio, television, and the bold and the beautiful's David Robbo Robinson. Hello, Robbo.
Oh, hello there, Rob. Look, you know, no one should have ever given me the password to rewrite the intros.
Hang on, that was a credit. Because,
yeah, that's it.
We need to applaud every credit.
I can't help myself. So who knows what next week I'll do, but great to be with you. And if you need me to, I can marry you.
Shall we talk about the fact I didn't read the script and you made me do it again because I hadn't read the script?
I don't know what you're talking about, but great to be with you.
Hey, on the screen next to Robbo is television producer. She works on Today Weekend. Today Weekend. That's what it's called.
It's a brand new show.
And you know, I haven't had, and just for the record, I have not had one drink today.
Sure.
I feel like that needs to be
hasn't
prefaced
because
I still
has
make
had
those
many
mistakes.
Oh, so true.
Abby Mickey Mickelson. Oh. Hello, Abby.
Mickey.
Don't Why have that. We never called her this?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
My God. Mickey Mick.
It just what came to me in a moment of soberness.
Yes. What a pity. Hello. You don't understand.
Hello, Rob. Hello, everyone. First, I would like to apologize for my voice. I have a very deep and annoying voice at the best of times, but I have a terrible cold.
I was about to say, what's different tonight?
Yeah, why apologize years ago? Oh.
No, I have a terrible cold at the moment. But, yes, more importantly, I would also like to acknowledge that I am recording on Darramorrigal land tonight, and I would like to pay my respects to the elders of this land, past and present.
And bringing us home is Mog, Mokey, Mokiness. It's Mog. Hello, Steve Mog.
Wow. Wait, what's his last name?
It has taken us 8 minutes to get through this intro. That's what's incredible. Hello, everyone.
It'll be edited down to 30 seconds.
My name is Mulk, and I'm here on the TV Black Box podcast. I'm recording tonight on the land of the Darkinjung mob, and I pay my respects to their elders past and present. And I am intrigued at just how much love is about to spill over into this first topic.
Well, look, before I get into the first intro, everybody, can I please respectfully say we are not here to discuss the issue per se, but more the coverage, okay? So let me just say that because it was a big weekend on free-to-air TV with each of the networks covering the Voice to Parliament referendum results as well as Sky News. In the ratings, it was the ABC that topped the list, followed by Channel 7. Over on SBS, there was a fiery exchange with No Campaigner and former SBS board member Warren Mundine. In fact, he accused the broadcaster of being biased and taking sides in the worst interview he's ever had. Robbo, did you see any of the coverage? What did you think of it?
I did see a lot of the coverage. So I'll start with 10 because that's the first one I saw. I thought it was very subdued. It was very respectful. And I think it really represented what a lot of people were feeling. So I know that the majority of people voted no, and look, we respect that, but they just had a very simple kind of broadcast. They did a couple of crosses to different people, to different reporters. They had their network political editor, and then they had an Indigenous pastor there. Hugh Rimmington Bloody hell, what a steady hand. Just a steady hand.
Oh, and he's a star, mate.
Isn't he?
Like, seriously.
And we,
spectacular.
And you and I have... I remember there's been plenty of times where we would get him on the newsroom floor and we'd talk to him and we'd just say, Hugh, what does this mean? And he would just deliver it to us. And we talked about, I think, the American election, and just he just does it in a beautiful way. And he did that again on Saturday night. I was very proud, from a broadcast television point of view, that 10 still cut into programming, which was great. What I didn't like, though, was 7's continuous... Like, if people remember when you could do... when you had Windows, Microsoft Windows, and you could do your own kind of screensaver, you could write little words across the screen. Having no wins, just continually scroll in massive writing across the bottom of the screen, the ticker, was absolutely ridiculous. We knew early on in the evening that the referendum had not succeeded. Why 7 continued to have this scrolling two words, no wins, no wins.
Sorry, was that was across just programming,
ridiculous.
Robert?
It was across their coverage.
Oh, I saw it in the screen, but I thought that was fair enough. But do you mean when they went to the movie? Or
no, when they went to the movie, they which I liked, actually, and this was quite good. I thought that was very, very, very
yes, because I saw really that watermark good. And I quite liked it. But I don't know what was wrong with no wind. I mean, I had a lot of problems with 7's graphics because I didn't understand them. But the no wins I didn't think was a problem.
But to scroll it across was rubbing it in. It was done. We understand there are no wins. We can see from the watermark, and that played across the movie when they came in and out of that, which was great. That was fantastic. It's almost like a sporting coverage or lotto. Wonderful. But to have no wins just continue, and no one anywhere in that building go, okay, guys, it's done. We can probably lose that strap. And just continue with the coverage. I thought their coverage was quite clean as well. My problem with the ABC's coverage was there was too many people and too many talking heads. I thought 10 was the cleanest and simplest and to the point. I thought 7's was also fantastic. Michael Usher. I mean, I love Hugh Remington, but Michael Usher, jeepers creepers. He is my favourite newsreader. His voice, the way he is able to command the audience... but also just keep it moving and keep it fresh. Lovely.
I'll tell you something he can do, Robbo. He can read an auto cue first time, and if it's correctly, like, unless it's gibberish, he can read it first time and nail it.
Yep.
And it's such a skill not having to pre-read something.
And you can tell that. And the way that he seamlessly is able to look at the camera, connect with us. Also, we know, with being TV people, he is also reading the auto cue. Also reading his printed scripts and then also reacting to things that are happening, that is full marks and you know, really, really well done. There are my thoughts.
Malk, I quite liked the ABCs. Mm-hmm. I thought David Spears got sidelined a bit.
Yep.
Because they were trying to do the politically correct thing. I mentioned 7. I didn't... I work for 7 at the moment.
What?
But one thing I didn't get was the graphics just had yes everywhere. You needed to have yes and no to give some sense, because it was actually, to a simpleton like me, it looked like yes was winning all the time, but then when I looked, oh, no, it's only 44.3%. Yes, Robert, you're waving your hands.
Wait,
like a
so bench. He's having I'm a stroke. I'm so sorry. No, I'm so sorry. I agree with you, Rob. Looking at the screen next to Mark Riley, also a consummate professional, I kept seeing yes, and I'm like, so we've won? Those states have said yes? And I was sitting with someone who is not in TV and had to say, what are you talking about? That graphic says that's what... Oh, yeah, I didn't like that. Also, ACT and NT, they're part of the country, for goodness sake. And ACT was the only one that said yes. Let's see them on the graphic. But for God's sake, it said, yeah, I thought, we've bloody won this. I mean, not that I have an opinion, but we've bloody won this because there's yes across the board. But it wasn't right. I thought that was confusing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And look, just to clarify a little bit in the process, Robbo, the reason why ACT and Northern Territory probably weren't included is because they didn't count in the state count
They were
result.
Included in the graphics. They were just very small.
Yeah,
that's
they were minimised.
ACT's a small place compared to New South Wales and the rest of Australia.
Yes. Look, I flicked across all of the networks across the night. I thought that the script that 9 opened with was diabolical. Just horrendous piece of writing, whoever delivered that. And Brooke Boney, as an Indigenous woman, was excellent as a co-host to Peter Overton on Nine, and had to deal with some pretty shitty situation herself live on air and ask some pretty horrible and awkward questions. Did a fine job. I agree with you around Michael Usher. Did a great job. Agree with Hugh Remington over on 10. I was really impressed by both SBS and the ABC's coverage. And I think for all of them, I think it was fair that they only planned an hour or an hour and a half of coverage, because it was a pretty clear indication. We were going to know either way where it was headed pretty quickly, because it was like a count of something. It was not going to come down the line.
It got there,
and
they pulled out. Fair enough.
I mean, when it's only one option, you vote this or you vote that, we don't need to go to this seat and work out the preferences and talk to this person. Correct. It's like, no, this is the thing. We've talked to the people from the various camps.
Mark, I'd actually predicted that it was going to be over by 8:30. I said to everyone, this will be over by 8:30. The no vote will have won. I didn't expect it to be over by 7:30 Sydney time.
And same. And I would have thought that the postal votes would have played a much bigger part in it. And may still do, but not enough to change it, right? It'll be interesting to see where that...
They don't play any part in it, mate. It's done.
Sure, but the postal and pre-polls are still significant, as far as lots more people are going to the polls ahead of the day than just turning up and doing that. From a coverage point of view...
And they can't win, so...
No, that's what I'm saying. Irrelevant. I acknowledge that. Yeah. It was just a... Whether they make a huge comeback or not, they're not going to win.
Mocky, can I ask you, though, were you surprised, and I think that I was surprised initially as well, that the double majority took into account. It took a lot of the drama out of what we are used to with election night or voting night. Were you surprised by that?
No, I actually think it had the capacity to add a lot more drama had the vote been closer, which it was never going to be. But you know, I think that there are a couple of things that stood out for me. I thought the SBS's coverage, controversy aside, it was actually really good, and make of that politically what you will. I thought it was fine. I was a little bit surprised to learn that not all of the coverage, I mean, it's 2023, nearly 24. Not all of this coverage was live around the country. Why would you even do that? I'm not in Adelaide. I live in New South Wales. However, I heard from some friends in Adelaide who were flicking around and watching on Saturday night. We learnt that Seven's coverage wasn't live into South Australia, but rather was on delay, yet it was live into Queensland. And in 23-24, you can't do that anymore. I think on big nights like this, it has to be live.
Agree.
Yeah. All right, moving on. And more than a decade after it was cancelled, Top Gear Australia is heading back to our screens in 2024, as I exclusively revealed on TV Black Box. Now, my sources have told me that it's going to be on Paramount Plus, but a comment within that story suggests that it will be Amazon Prime Video. Either way, the show is definitely coming back. That is the exclusive part. Everything I've been told, Abby, is Paramount Plus, but, you know, I'm happy. This commenter seemed pretty sure in the TV Black Box article. I know you're a rev head, Abby. You'll be looking forward to this one, won't you?
Wow. I love it. I can't wait. I just can't wait. No, I mean, it's not for me, but I still hope it does well, obviously. I was actually thinking about this today. I think the networks are all in a really difficult position now, where I know for me personally, when I hear there's a reboot, my first thought is enough of the reboots, make something new. But then whenever they've tried something new, for the most part, it has completely tanked. And so I don't really know what the answer is to that, but I do understand why they keep trying for things like this. It's obviously easier to find an audience when you have people who have already watched it and already love it. But yeah, personally, it's not for me, but of course, hope it does well wherever it ends up.
What I'd like to know, though, from everyone here is that there has been a lawsuit for the British version with Freddie Flintoff.
Yep. Settled.
It wasn't a lawsuit. They reached an agreement to pay him $17 million, ouch, Freddie Flintoff, we're talking about here, after the big crash. It's been very amicable.
Fine, but yes, it was going to be £9 million. Surely that would kind of put off any kind of broadcaster, especially in a smaller market like Australia. Surely that would make them go, hang on a tick, Look, we love the format. There's been lots of great content over the years, great brand. But when you can get one of your presenters who was on contract, who was being paid, and then was in a crash that you have also engineered, that is going to be millions and millions and millions of dollars, I don't understand why any network would say yes to this.
It's a show with a long history that has had – this is the exception, not the rule. Yeah, there have been crashes in Top Gear, but nothing like the facial injuries that we saw with Freddie Flintoff.
Oh, I don't know. And Richard Hammond copped a pretty serious accident that had him in hospital for months.
Yeah, huge accident.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I didn't – yeah, no, fair enough. But Freddie Flintoff, that happened quite a while ago and he still got the facial
– It was his moneymaker, right? Hammond was in serious condition, but it didn't affect his face, his beautiful face.
Yeah. And I guess that's what I was trying to get at. But, Robbo, that has to be factored in with insurance, of course, and maybe not going as far with the stunts. There's ways of doing these things.
Oh.
But I've never watched Top Gear before in my life, and I don't intend to. But my point is, though, that when – so you do a stunt on the first year of your show, and they're pretty crazy, right?
Yep.
And then you get a second series, and you've got to go –
How do we get better?
I've got to go further.
Yeah.
Then you go third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year. So what is going to hurt Top Gear is its history, and that's what's going to hurt it. Mm. So we're going to get Top Gear Australia 2023, and bloody hell, I want to see a grizzly bear. I want to see a friggin' fox. You know, I want to see an alien. I want to see a laser fight.
They'll import it.
You know what I mean?
You mean
my point is that. But my point is all of that kind of thing. I want to see the bloody Harbour Bridge be jumped over by a motorbike.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it. And you won't be able to do it with this Freddie Flintoff case. You won't be able to do it with insurance. It's not going to happen. So it surprises me that anyone would approach this brand in a market the size of Australia for an Australian audience when you can't top what you need to top.
Good point, well made, Robbo. I, as a fan of the Top Gear franchise, you're right in that year on year they've had to get bigger. And for a new season of Top Gear Australia, it's going to have to come in at like 12 or 13 out of 10 to start for any of that kind of stuff. The real challenge, I think, for whoever it lands on, Paramount, wherever, is going to be the casting. That is why Top Gear Australia has never totally solidified. It has a heritage out of the UK, which is where it kind of benefited. And then when those three core cast left, it never really retained the audience that it had. Australia never really kicked off because it didn't put seasoned drivers in the seats. And we just don't have that heritage. So I think it'll be fine, but you need a show like Top Gear Australia to not just be fine. It needs to be petrol head heaven. And we are hurt now because we don't make cars in Australia anymore. There's not the same Ford versus Holden love that there used to be.
No.
So, I mean, c'est la vie. Good try, but I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah. Well, Daryl is out and the Doctor is in. From next year, TV vet Dr. Chris Brown will be hosting Dancing with the Stars alongside Sonia Kruger. It's just one of the three shows in his deal with Seven. Daryl Summers confirmed the news on Facebook, paying tribute to the show he hosted alongside Sonia for 10 seasons. Presumably, Abby, Seven will be making this announcement at their upfront tomorrow as we record. We're recording on Tuesday night. It will be Wednesday night, tomorrow night, their upfront. Presumably, that would be announced. They would have liked to hold this off, but Daryl confirmed the Herald Sun's reporting and let the cat out of the bag, saying that he's happy to pass on the Mirrorball.
Yeah, I think that's really funny that he clearly didn't wait for what they had planned and he just wanted to jump in there early.
I think it got leaked too, though, didn't it?
I don't know how I feel about this.
It was in the Herald Sun, Fiona Byrne, and he confirmed it.
But he could have held off and then he really went hard on it. I don't know how I feel about it. I think Daryl Summers is kind of stuck in a time capsule and I don't mean that in a good way. I feel like I'm watching something very old when I watch him and not like in a fun, nostalgic way, more in just an annoyance kind of way. I'm not a fan. But on the other hand...
Oh, the way you view Daryl is the same way you view me.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like I'm talking to an old man. No, no. On the other hand, I
it's one thing for me to say it. It's another for you to back it up.
Well played.
So sorry. I think the combo of Sonia and Chris Brown is really boring. I don't like Sonia Kruger. I'm impartial to Chris Brown. And I just think the two of them together is so bland.
Sonia is bland? The stuff she's done on that show, you know, like she's so naughty, she says inappropriate things, like she's hilarious.
No, I was just going to say, though, that I find the whole show bland, okay, and so I find her within it.
There you go. There you go.
But yeah, my point is the show maybe is not for me. But I find the pair of them as an idea very uninspiring and unexciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good vehicle for Chris. And with Sonia, he'll be in safe hands. Sonia, there is no question, kept the franchise alive. And you're right, she played naughty against Daryl, who was very much playing the secure host. And Mr. Summers is a fine entertainer who I'm sure many will fondly remember. The opportunity, I think, to get Chris Brown front and center is a risky one because he does end up becoming 7 Sonia Kruger or 10's Osher Ginsburg. But they need to, given the money that I'm sure they have passed into his bank account. They need to get the value out of him.
Remember to be $1 million a year.
They need to get the value out of him. So we will see Chris, like Sonia, on a lot of things. I'm keen. I'm keen for another season of The Mirror Ball. I think that what we get in the highly edited version that is no longer live, it is ostensibly live to tape, but it's not live like it used to be live, is it loses some of its punch, but I get the security and editing and why they do it for all reality shows now. And that, for me, not just a Dancing with the Stars situation, all those shows lose their zing when there's no live component like there has been.
Mate, in this day of budgets, it's...
I know, I totally get it, Rob.
In a week or 2 weeks instead of 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, I get why they do it. It's not a problem. I'm just saying that it loses the... Because only a small audience can attend those live events, as opposed to the audience. Yes. And always the hook for reality television has been, how can we engage and how can we hook them in? And I also understand the whole voting process, earning money of that, is now off the table. That hasn't been solved by the telecommunications peoples yet. So...
No, ever since Telstra changed the rules. That's why we have no cash cow anymore.
And it's not unfair either that needed to be addressed. I think it's a pendulum situation. We've swung too hard one way and we need to come back the other way to work out how we can make it function so that it's not super expensive but it is still live.
All right, coming up, Gogglebox brings out the celebrities, how the ABC plans to bring in the money, and we'll find out what everyone's been watching in the TV Binge Box.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well, the special celebrity edition of Gogglebox Australia is back next week. Among the new faces will be Carrie Bickmore and Fifi Box, as well as the Real Housewives of Sydney's Chrissy Marsh and Nicole O'Neill. Those returning to the couch include the Irwin family, Julia Morris, Nazim Hussain and Ursula Carson. Mulk?
Yep.
I love a celebrity edition of Gogglebox.
And I particularly like it, Rob, when, as it is in this case, it's being done for charity. So I think that there's a great opportunity for people to tune in and see some of their favourite celebs talking about the same shows that they're watching. And I know that they've been recording over the weekend and yesterday. Like, it's current television. They haven't given them sort of, you know, acres-long screeners. They're watching the same stuff that we've been watching. And I think, look, people might say, oh, but Zoe and Hamish aren't there. I mean, again, probably a smart move by Hamish to not stick his hand up or not get the opportunity because he's Channel 9's Osher Ginsburg. There's a good breadth and depth of new players as much as returning players. I think that the Celebrity Gogglebox format is good and much better when it's single episodes and not a whole season.
I think not having Hamish and Zoe is actually a massive loss. I won't be watching it. They were the kind of sole reason that I watched it last year. I think for me, I find an issue with Celebrity
Gogglebox.
Anthony
and Tim are draw cards for mine.
Yeah, I like Robbo said a few weeks ago, he was talking broadly about the Australian version of Gogglebox in general, that he thinks the problem is that it's very just staged.
They're mugging for the camera now.
Yeah, they're just saying their lines and it doesn't seem authentic. I find that a lot with the celebrity editions because these are people who are media trained and
trying to get gags in, right?
Exactly. And so I find it a bit difficult and it just doesn't feel genuine. And so I'm generally not a fan of the celebrity editions. I'll tune in when it's someone I really like. Like last year it was Hamish and Zoe, but without them, I'm just not that interested.
I think that that's a challenge of the format, right? Part of the season-long process is that you ease into it and you get less and less of the, you know, trying to get lines and mugging for the camera, and it's just more natural. I disagree. I think the Australian format have nailed it.
No, the Australian format is too clever by half. They've made it all about the narrator and the interplay between the characters. I am devouring watching Gogglebox UK because it's literally them reacting to shows and not being smart-ass comments like, you'd have to be a drongo to like this, cut to, oh, I love this. You know, but it's that, which is that example is fine, right? But they try to use the comments to create a different storyline that's got nothing to do with what we're actually seeing on these shows. And the narrator has become a star. You know, like on the UK one, you literally get in Kafile, you know, and you see the people going. Whereas this one, she speaks more than she's, and she's great. The way she delivers is fantastic. No, I'm not having a go at her, but the producers have become very lazy and they're writing comedy for her and just trying to be smart-ass with the clips. I just strip it back. Like, Gogglebox was better in the early days. Gogglebox Australia, Gogglebox UK for my mind. Anyway, I need to mention, Robbo hasn't just gone quiet because he's,
because he would have been all over that Chris Brown story.
No,
right?
He hasn't been censored. He actually did drop out. He hasn't been able to get back on, but we've got to keep recording. Usually we would keep going. I don't know if he's going to, he's having internet issues apparently. He sent that to me via pigeon. And so we'll see if he can get on.
It was a smeared piece of paper written in his own feces.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay, on to this one. The Hollywood Reporter has released a list of the 35 most powerful women in international television. But get this, no Australians made the cut. Those named include Carolyn McCall, the CEO of ITV in the UK, Veronica Fernandez, Netflix's Spain director of fiction series, and Aparna Purauhit, head of India Originals at Amazon. Abby, I am genuinely a bit surprised that Australians weren't recognised in this category.
I'm not overly surprised. I do think it's a shame, but it didn't shock me. I think when you look at the research that Media Diversity Australia and Screen Australia put out each year, women are really underrepresented in those leadership roles in Australian television and across industries in general. I think it was July 2020 was when I saw Today, so this may have changed, but every national news director was a white man. And that same study found that in other senior news management roles, only 28% were women, and that was massively inflated by the ABC and SBS, who were both close to 50%, and like at 7, it was 0. So
hang on, Channel 10,
am not
the person in charge is female. Netflix Australia
But before we get there, let
Labby
finish, and then I've got a question.
It's a numbers game, right? So yes, there are certain people, and yes, I think those people should be recognised, but when you have so few women in leadership roles, as we do in Australia, it's why we're ranked so low when it comes to gender equality worldwide. It is one of the reasons why we are so low on that list. It's not surprising because statistically, we're less likely to make a list like that when there aren't as many people in those roles.
And Robbo, what do you think of that topic?
Well, look, I think you're exactly right. I think that women in media, we've got a lot of great women.
Well done. We did explain to the dear listeners that you have been missing in action. So
I could have picked
just
up that.
Saw you come up and I thought I'd throw you under the bus.
But you couldn't do it, could you? This guy's a professional. I mean, he's better than women, but, joking.
A professional bullshit artist. Yeah.
Mate, that's all you need. I think the challenge for any Australians being added to the list, Rob, is that when you look through the list, they are all women in roles that have international vision and engagement. They're all engaged in some big, like they run their bits or they own their parts of the things that they do, but their engagement is that they are known because the companies they run or the stuff that they do engages in places across the globe. And apart from maybe someone like Bruna Papandrea or who's a producer that's got a whole bunch of stuff running on particularly Prime Video, but also on Netflix and those sorts of places. And I'll give maybe Beverly McGarvey as someone who is in charge of 10 Paramount Australia, Australia, New Zealand, that they're probably good examples of who could be on the list. The challenge for both of them, and Bruna is probably closer than Bev is that they don't have the global reputational footprint that all of these women do.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, the AB set to follow the lead of the BBC and develop its commercial arm as a way of generating bigger revenues. The SMH reports former Netflix executive Chris Oliver-Taylor joined the ABC in March this year as its new content boss. He's told the paper the ABC should earn more money through bigger, bolder and more expensive bets on films and TV. In 2021 to 22, the ABC spent $177 million of its own budget and secured $144 million in other funding for Australian content. But get this, it only generated $21 million from selling that content and $41 million from all its sales areas. Robbo, there's work to be done here. I think this guy is right. I have no problem with the ABC getting public funds, but it also should be able to, when it creates content, it should be able to sell that content more effectively. The ABC gave up a stake in Bluey. The ABC developed Bluey, gave up any rights that it had, and now look at the money that thing's making, and ABC sees nothing of it.
Look, I think in Australia, the ABC is damned if they do, damned if they don't. That's the problem. So obviously the BBC in the UK is more established, and they also have Murdoch Papers, and I'm going to go for that. The biggest criticism from anywhere is from the Murdoch Press. If the ABC spent more money on developing a sales arm or a commercial arm, then you can bet your bottom bloody dollar that the Australian newspaper, the Daily Telegraph, the Herald Sun, all of them would have a massive hissy fit about the fact that, well, hold on, the ABC gets billions of dollars in funding and now they're wanting more money from commercial interest.
The ABC always gets people fired up, but let's move on to something less controversial. It's time for the TV Binge Box.
Oh, yeah, less controversial. Gosh.
I know, it's always controversial. Abby Mickelson, what have you been watching this week?
I actually have not watched a lot this week. Really, I'm
good
still...
Good chat. Okay.
Jesus. Straight in again.
It's my favourite gag.
I'm still just going with Lost. I'm about halfway through season 3, watching that on Disney Plus, and that's all I've been watching.
Cool. Well, I have watched the Frasier reboot. What happened?
Cool.
No, that cool. was a good thing. That was a
it
good thing.
Matter.
That was funny.
It was fine.
Hey, cool story, bro. Anyway, I've been watching Frasier. It was funny. It was funny, Rob. It was funny.
Okay. I don't know anymore. I've lost sight. Cool. I have been...
you made it heaps better.
So, yeah. Wow.
Jesus.
Fucking seamless. Tickety bird.
So good.
Oh, wow. Cool.
What a night, friends.
Cool. Okay, cool. I've been watching the Frasier reboot on Paramount Plus. Now...
Rob, did you watch the original?
It's not old Frasier. Yes.
Yeah, right. I never watched it.
And I liked the original.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought this was okay. It's a bit laboured. There's some nice moments. They've basically tried to replace the original characters. They've got Niles and Daphne's son playing the Niles role. They've got Frasier's son playing the dad's role. And
yep.
It's a little bit too heartwarming, lovely. It's sort of like Frasier without the bite.
It's your classic three-camera American studio sitcom, right?
I love a three-camera American sitcom, so I've got no problem with that.
It's fine. The two big issues for mine are that they've lent too hard into something that is ostensibly a dinosaur in American sitcom format now. Cool. And the second part is the laugh track is so fucking heavy-handed, it's not funny.
Where is David Hyde Pierce? Why is he not back?
Didn't want to be a part of it.
I don't have a problem with the sitcom format. I still love my Big Bang Theory, but, you know.
Yeah, we know.
But having said that, I'm going to keep watching this. I'm actually going to keep watching. But the other
Good
thing I've started watching is Louis cool. Theroux Saville on Netflix, I believe it is. And this is a documentary Louis Theroux has done looking at Jimmy Savile, the pedophile in the UK.
What's
interesting about this is because, you know, many years ago, Louis did a documentary with Jimmy Savile when Louis met Jimmy. And he revisits that and talks to people based on the fact that he did not see what this guy, the monster that this guy was, right? And so he's thinking, how did I miss this? Now, one thing he does say is that he felt like there was something about him, but he became good friends with him. He actually had him over to his place all the time and he's got video of it. And so it's him trying to reconcile how he had become friends with this monster. It's really fascinating, really worth a watch.
That's a great premise as well. There was a Jimmy Savile documentary on Netflix that was brilliant where people just kind of came in and was like, what the hell happened? And obviously we heard about the BBC there. Can I say really quickly, there's an edit point for you. Oh, I thought you meant Louis C.K. And I thought, how could you like a Louis C.K.? I really did. So, like, you're going, Louis C.K.'s done a documentary on Jimmy Savile. Like, that's fucking not nice. But you didn't mean that. You meant Louis Theroux. So, like, I was having a fucking meltdown, and then I realised halfway through.
I wondered why you were so shocked.
I thought that's not...
Yeah, I saw your shock, and I thought something's gone wrong here.
Like, I saw your shock too, and I'm like, I just got to keep going because I don't understand.
And probably best you did, but you didn't mean... Oh, okay.
Okay, Robbo, what have you been watching?
So, again, like I said last week, dehydrated. Every time a frame of Chicago Med plays, I cry my eyes out. Whether it's a happy story or a dying story, I can't help that show. And I'm so addicted to it. I watch it during the night. It's lovely. I also watched Once Upon a Dream. Is that the new short from Disney to celebrate their Disney 100? Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
Once Upon a Time, I think it is. Really great. Brings together all of the characters you know and love. Some have speaking roles, some who don't. It was nice. And you have
and Robin Williams is in it. They used outtakes from his recording of Genie.
But very quickly. It's one line. Almost I thought, oh, that's not the original. That is someone else doing the voice because you know as people age or die or whatever. Disney always have to have these people in the background. I thought it was nice. You'll have a smile on your face when you watch it. You won't have a, and I didn't have that, and I really wanted that. It was a nice way because you know what? It's great when you have crossovers in TV shows. So when you see characters from one show going to another show. That's really fun. This was nice. It wasn't what you'd expect for 100 years of Disney. And they obviously spent a lot of money on it and they bought in lots of characters. It was meh for me. It should have been better. It was very, very beige. For a company that bought us the first colour cartoon in 1928 with Snow White, they have certainly run out of colours and they're now going to beige. It sounded better in my head as it came out.
Mark, bring us home. What have you been watching?
Cool. I've been watching heaps, as you'd expect, Rob. And look, I'll give you the two that I will give you a bit of a stuff on, and then a couple of up mocks, down mocks. I watched all of the second season of Stan's dramedy series Wolf Like Me, starring Isla Fisher and Josh Gad. And I don't have enough words in my vocabulary to tell you how much I dislike Josh Gad.
Oh, he's that Frozen guy,
but I persevered.
Oh.
He's that Frozen
guy. He's the guy that plays Olaf, snowman in Frozen, among other roles.
Do you just not like him in this or just in general?
I don't like him as a performer, and which is why I was reticent to watch the first season. I did watch it and thought, okay, well, we got away with it, but I didn't enjoy his performance. I watched the second season, and I liked his performance even less. People may love it. I thought it's a fine idea. Abe Forsyth came up with it and wrote and directed the entire two seasons. And it's done a fine job. And Isla Fisher is hilarious and excellent, and it's a great hook. I was just permanently distracted by Gad and his very phoned-in performance.
Hold on, Mulkey.
It was just not great.
Can I do a little bit of a TV black box psychic kind of show here? This is a spin-off. It feels like this might be a down Mulk.
No, he doesn't do that. He's got that coming up.
Watch it if you really want to watch it.
If only we could fucking let showbiz fucking happen.
If only we could make showbiz work, Robbo. If only we could make it work.
I'll give you another one.
See, Robbo, that's my version of showbiz fucking over your jokes. That's fun for me.
It must be hard, though, because...
Do you understand?
There's not a lot of jokes you could fuck over. Also, I had Isla Fisher on
No, there's not a lot of jokes.
Yeah, that was an insult on yourself. I don't think that's how you meant to take it.
You made it sound like you don't have many jokes, Robbo. You screwed yourself over
there. And you know
there.
What? I still can't get over it. I'm doing, like, visual gags here, and then as I'm doing them, I'm like, oh, this is a fucking podcast. I'm doing visual gags.
There's no audience.
Would
you like me to continue?
Yeah, for God's sake.
Cool. The second show that I'd like to talk about is Upload Season 3, which is on Prime Video, kicking off this week. And the basic premise of the show, for those that haven't seen it, when you die, your consciousness can get uploaded into the cloud, where you can live either a very luxurious life, if you had enough money or if your family want to pay for you to do that. And they can phone you. They can engage and interact with you in this virtual afterlife. Or you go into poverty and you get like 2 gigs a day and you freeze for the rest of the day until it resets. That's the basic idea. It's made by Greg Daniels, who is responsible for the US office. It's got good bones, and I've really liked where this third season has gone. Season 2 is a little bit off the rails at points. I think they've realigned it for season 3 and have brought it home strong.
That would have to be the final season, wouldn't it?
Surely.
I believe it is. I can't recall right to this second if the third is the final, but I believe it is the final season. It's happening weekly, 2 episodes a week on Prime Video. Check it out now. The first 2 seasons are available in full on Prime Video. A couple of quick up-mulks and a down-mulk. I keep wanting to up-mulk Gen V, which is the new Boys spin-off, also on Prime Video. Up-mulk. I'm going to down-mulk the second season of Our Flag Means Death, the Taika Waititi, Rhys Darby comedy pirate series on Binge. Down-mulk. A big up, Mulk, to Welcome to Wrexham on Disney Plus. Loving that it's back. Loving that it's as great and hilarious as it is. A surprising up, Mulk, to Amazing Race Australia Celebrity Edition. And because I'm about to rush off and record the podcast, huge up, Mulk, to Real Housewives of Sydney Season 2. They are horrible, and I love every minute of it.
All right, that brings us to the end of this episode. Oh. I won't be here next week. I am taking a week off. I'm getting surgery next week.
Oh,
no, I'm getting surgery on my throat. I'm getting.
Oh, does that mean that you won't? Nodule. Oh, that's you're getting that part that removes where you interrupt everyone. Oh, thank God. Oh, well done, buddy. Well done, big boy. That's fantastic. And well done.
That's why I had to get it all in tonight, Robbo.
That will be alive and well, Robbo. That will be alive and well. But maybe I'll sound deeper.
Maybe I'll have a voice like this.
Oh. Or maybe I'll have a voice. always like this.
Oh, we'll God, please give me the next Peter Harvey. Rob McKnight.
Anyway, the surgery's next week. Thank you for your love and support. I'm Rob McKnight. Don't forget, for all the latest TV news and all the exclusives, go to tvblackbox.com.au. This is where people in the industry get their news. With Mop, Robbo and Abby, God knows what's going to happen next week. Good luck to all and all those who sail in her. I won't see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.